Today on Straight Talk Africa, what's the significance of the upcoming elections in Nigeria? That discussion is coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali, and today it's a discussion on the significance of the upcoming elections in Nigeria. Nigeria has Africa's
campaigning
biggest
in the
economy.
Nigerian presidential election enters its final days, and the wealth and patronage network of the two main parties are driving the country's politics. President Muhammadu Buhari and his All Progressive Congress Party recently held a pivotal rally in the heart of Lagos. At the rally, Buhari told thousands of supporters he would continue to act on his election promises from 2015 victory to rid Nigeria of endemic corruption, fix the economy, and tackle security threats.
And I assure you that the promise we have made 2015, based on which you elected us, we made tremendous progress, as I mentioned, by those who told you what this administration is doing on security, economy, and fighting corruption.
Hija Adekoya is an avid supporter of APC, the ruling party. She says that President Muhammadu Buhari has made good on the fight against corruption.
Why I support Buhari is because of the corruption. He was fighting corruption.
Buhari is fighting a tough battle against his longtime rival, former Vice President Atiku Abubakar, who heads the People's Democratic Party. Beyond general pledges to tackle corruption, Abubakar is primarily focusing his presidential campaign on how he will further stimulate the nation's economy. According to Bloomberg Financial Organization, Buhari says his economic plan will significantly focus on reforms to boost the oil and non-oil sectors, while Abubakar says he will pursue a more market-friendly policies. Abubakar's Get Nigeria Working Again slogan not only plays on his image as a successful businessman, but highlights what he believes is incumbent Muhammadu Buhari's alleged failings.
We want to have less, you know, government involvement as far as business is concerned.
Abubakar says security is also a top priority.
I will restore peace in the Northeast, and we will restore total peace in Nigeria.
This year's campaign is the fifth time Abubakar has run for Nigeria's top job. Given his age, 72, and the country's increasingly young population, it may well be his last. Muhammadu Buhari, 75, who has dealt with some health issues and has sought a treatment outside the country, could also be running in his last campaign. Political analysts say voters in Africa's most populous nation and leading oil producer are hoping to use the ballot to deepen the quality of democratic governance. Not long ago, demonstrators took to the streets in Abuja, protesting the removal of Nigeria's chief justice for allegedly breaching assets declaration rules for state officials, a decision that drew worldwide criticism ahead of Saturday's presidential election. Paul Ndiho, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul, for that interesting report. And joining us here are two distinguished guests, Sylvester Okele, President and CEO of United People for African Congress, and Ogbeni Lanle Banjo, former gubernatorial candidate, Ogun State, southwestern Nigeria. Well, I have to say, gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have you on Straight Talk Africa today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Samir.
You're most welcome. And joining us from Nigeria are also three other distinguished guests: VOA's Peter Kilote, is in Lagos. VOA Hausa service reporter Hauwa Umar is in the capital, Abuja. And last but not least, Alhaji Buba Galadima, a spokesman for the People's Democratic Party, the PDP's presidential council, is in the Nigerian capital, Abuja. Good evening, Peter.
Good evening, Shaka.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you, Shaka?
I am hugely terrific. What is it like in Lagos?
Lagos is pretty quiet. There's excitement in the air, and people are ready to go Saturday to cast their ballot. This early morning, I received a text message from the Independent National Electoral Commission, or INEC, saying and encouraging all prospective voters to go to the polls on Saturday and make their vote count by voting in their numbers. Now, every cell phone holder in Lagos received such messages.
Now, you obviously have been downtown Lagos for quite some time, and I know that you also happened to be there 5 years ago. What is it like this time around when you talk to people? Are they as hopeful, for example, as they were 5 years ago?
Well, 5 years ago, from a few people that I have spoken with, they said the atmosphere was peaceful. However, this time around, it looks like the atmosphere is a little bit tensed. I was able to speak with the police commissioner here, or the police chief here in Lagos, and he said that despite fears of violence, he has established protocols and security measures to ensure voters are protected, and that those who plan to intimidate or harass to prevent supporters of their candidates from going to the polls will be dealt with according to the law. I asked him how he's going to do that. He said, I will not reveal it to you, but the plans are on course. Thousands and thousands of police will be deployed during Election Day to ensure a peaceful environment and to remove any doubt in the minds of voters that the election could be violent. Because some people express concern that they will not go and vote because of anticipated fear of violence.
Now, Ndugu Peter, I stand corrected, by the way. It's not 5 years ago. It is, in fact, 4 years ago, because the last time I checked, the Nigerian Constitution is pretty much a replica of the United States of America.
You're right.
Now, talking about being right, Peter, what about today's statement coming from a man who happens to be a former Nigerian military head of state and currently who happens to be the chairman of what is called the National Peace Committee, Abdul Salami Abubakar? He talked about essentially, he was in fact warning the presidential candidates for not doing anything that would make, quote, a bad situation worse. Are we talking about a sort of political campaign civil war here in Nigeria?
Well, it's an interesting thing because the opposition has expressed concern, particularly the PDP. They have been prevented from using public places like the stadiums where their campaigns will be held. We heard local reports that they canceled their campaign in the capital, Abuja, this morning. However, the APC campaign went unhindered. Here in Lagos, they wanted to use the national stadium in Lagos. However, they had to change the plans because the officials told me the stadium they had wanted to use was under renovation. However, the opposition party says, why should it take the time when they are supposed to be holding their rally that renovation will be undertaken there? What happens to the rest of the 4 years? So these are some of the concerns they have been raising. And that is why people fear there could be violence, because there's tension in the air. These are some of the concerns residents in Lagos expressed to me when I spoke with them.
Well, on that note, thank you very much, Peter, for joining us from Lagos, and take care of yourself.
Thank you, Shaka.
You're most welcome, Ndugu Peter. Let's go to the capital, Abuja, and we're joined by Hauwa Umari. Good evening, Hauwa.
Yeah, good evening.
How are you?
Fine.
What is Abuja like?
Abuja, it's just fine. Talking about the rally for the APC and the PDP, the APC were able to carry out their own rally. And for one reason or the other, I don't know why the PDP was not able to carry out their own rally.
How did you attend what is being reported as the signing of the peace accord in Abuja?
No, not really.
You did not attend?
Yes.
Any particular reason why the former military head of state, Abdusalami Abubakar, is warning candidates for what he says not doing anything that could actually turn a bad situation worse?
Yes, I think this the forthcoming elections is going to be a little bit crazy this time around, because if looking at the both candidates, the major parties, that is PDP and APC, they are both northerners and with the same tribe and belief. So it's going to be a little bit crazy, and I think there is going to be a kind of vote divide, even though not really much, but there is going to be a vote divide.
Are you telling me that Nigerians who have actually been independent since 1960... up to now, they view their candidates in terms of their ethnic origins rather than looking at them as Nigerians?
Looking at the 2015 elections, where we have President Muhammadu Buhari from APC, and then the other candidate, that's Goodluck Jonathan from PDP. You know, we have this kind of mindset that we want to vote our people, like we are the next people that are supposed to take power. So there is that kind of mindset, you know.
Do you get the sense that this time around the Electoral Commission is prepared to deliver the sort of election that was delivered 4 years ago?
Yes, I believe and I'm optimistic about that, that we are going to have a peaceful election this time around, because the INEC are fully prepared. We are going to have a free, fair, and most importantly, violence-free elections.
So you really think that whoever is in the chair this time will pretty much replicate what the unique Professor Atahiru Jega was able to do 4 years ago?
Yes, I believe whoever wins, we are going to have we are going to have peace in the country. I believe in that, because Nigerians now, they are wiser. They don't sell their votes or trade their lives for any political candidate or party that don't even know they exist. So Nigerians are wiser, and I believe we are going to have a peaceful elections.
You know, there used to be, as far as Nigerians' elections were concerned, many years ago, there used to be a Nigeria where you had people who supposedly came to cast their vote, were sometimes much more than, in fact, the population in the constituency. What about now? Do you actually have a situation now where you are confident that the results of the election are in fact going to reflect the will of the people.
Yes, because like I said, INEC have done their best. They have fully prepared for these elections with the PVC, the card reader, and everything. I don't think people will come from other places or people will cast votes two times or anything like that.
Well, on that note, thank you very much, Hawa Umar, for sharing your insight with us.
You're welcome, Shaka.
Good luck in Abuja.
Thank you.
Let me come to you, Sylvester. It's been a very, very long time since I last saw you on Straight Talk Africa. Where have you been?
I've been around doing what I can do.
You've been around doing what you can do.
Yes.
Do you have
Somebody
a horse?
Community.
Do you have a horse in the race in Nigeria? Last time you had a Major General Muhammadu Buhari retired, but certainly not tired, because you can see he's actually looking for a second time.
Yes.
To stay in Athol Rock.
Right.
Do you really think that he's likely to get his political lease renewed for Athol Rock?
Well, it depends on the people to decide, just as they decided 4 years ago. First question is if I have a host. I am not an APC, I'm not a PDP, I'm not a party member in Nigeria, but I pick and choose who to support, just like here, become an affiliated. I watch individuals before I throw my arm around them. By his grace, I believe President Buhari will win this election. And I love his temperament. He's been very calm. He's been very focused, very intelligent, in as much as people name him several things, lifeless, everything. But he never challenged. He's still okay. Baba goes slow. He's still going slow, and he's still doing what he's supposed to do. Nigeria is very complicated, which we all know. It doesn't matter which political party or leader that's going to come in place. We're still going to have these problems. We had it 4 years ago, and you and I were here. We talked about it. But my problem, what really pains me so much, is the kind of insidious or inflammatory statement that the opposition candidate have been making. It happened 4 years ago also when First Lady told people, if you see them, stone them. People need to watch their mouth when it comes to election, because you have people who believe in you that don't even know you but are willing to kill themselves and kill other people. That is why we are having problem. That is why the whole world thinks that this election is going to be crazy. It's not going to be crazy. And I'm happy she said that the INEC has been, you know, has a better apparatus than 4 years ago and prepared and set to serve the people. But this confusion and fear is coming from the PDP, the opposition candidate. Why? Because he want to gather kind of sympathy from outside the world. How are you going to be talking about rigged election when election has not been done?
Now,
why are you going to protest about rigging?
Now,
it's not conducted
Sylvester,
yet.
You talk about how you think that General Buhari would be re-elected. What would you say are some of his major accomplishments? Because let's face it, when he ran last time, he talked about, for example, defeating Boko Haram.
Okay.
The last time I checked, Boko Haram is still very much alive, even though it does not control territory time around. He also talked about how he is going to fight and defeat corruption. Can anybody really defeat corruption
in
Nigeria?
It is not only Nigeria.
Type of corruption.
Not only in Nigeria, even America that has existed for years.
But in
corruption
this particular case, we're talking about Nigeria.
You. Yeah. But corruption and Boko Haram is easy to defeat when people work together. I see President Buhari and President Trump on the same platform. From the one they've been elected, people have never given them support or credit, whether they do good or bad. Sorry to say that, but that's a fact. No one man can do those things. No one man leads a country or leads a community. So we have to also work with the person. There is community policing. At least Boko Haram have been calmed down. It wasn't as serious as it was then. Boko Haram stopped a lot of investors coming to Nigeria. But we have girls that we are being kidnapped. Some of them have not been discovered. Our mothers cannot go to church or go to farm. Kids cannot play on the street. It wasn't like that again, even though Boko Haram, America cannot stop terrorism. It's still existing.
I see.
Yeah.
Good evening, Alihaji Buba Galadima.
Yeah.
How are you?
Fine. I'm okay.
You are okay?
Yeah.
I thought you'd be better than okay, that you'll probably tell me that, in fact, you are feeling hugely terrific.
Well, one of those things, the fever for election is just around the corner.
Now, tell me, Alhaji, why do you support Atiku Abubakar when, in fact, the last time I checked, you happen to be one of those key supporters, key promoters of Major General Muhammadu Buhari?
That's correct, Shaka, but I want to make one or two corrections and find out something. The last speaker, I don't know if he's resident in Nigeria or in America.
Why?
I have my reasons. I want to find out, because he was talking as if he's living in the moon.
No, he lives in America, but he seems to be the type of person that interacts with Nigeria very, very routinely.
Well, I just want to say that he's not extremely qualified to talk on things down here on the ground in Nigeria. So as also Hawa may be a staff of the VOA or a housewife, she may not understand the nuances and the roughness of the political atmosphere here in Nigeria. She may not know. So having said that, it's true that I'm not one of the very closest people to General Buhari, but I'm also one of those 34 people who first solicited for his entry into Nigerian mighty political waters. And my boss, the Director General of the Buhari Organization, Alhaji Sile Ahama, had remained with him up to 2015. Until such a time that hawks came in and threw us out of our positions because they felt that we are too much for them, and if they assist him come to power, we would not allow them help themselves. I'm sure that has been their reason, and he accepted that, maybe as a gentleman.
What do you mean, Alhaji Buba, when you say help themselves? What is that supposed to mean?
They are still right, left, and center. They are doing what they want. They have banished the president into his bedroom and locked him up and doing what they like. That is why they are called the cabal.
Cabal.
So such individuals, we never saw them during the struggle for 15 years. We have never seen any of them. In fact, the wife said they had not even voted for him. But today they control government. And this is why some of us are asking, is it General Buhari who is contesting the election or them? And General Buhari must come clean and tell Nigerians that really, when we vote for him, this Mr. So-so-so-so and so will do the job of Mr. President, so that we will vote for him consciously knowing that he has no capacity and ability to run a modern state as Nigeria. But those are the hidden faces which will really do the job. So there are a lot of intricacies in this election. Alhaji Atiku Abubakar, a renowned businessman and philanthropist and a public servant and administrator and a politician, is the one that is pairing with General Buhari in this run-up to 2019 general elections on the presidential ticket. And we believe that he could do better. He's garnered a lot of experience as a Democrat. And don't forget that General Buhari is the maximum ruler that we had in 1983 to 1985. And that his decrees know no bounds. He retrospectively promulgated decrees that executed women, journalists, and students. This is on record. He just became a 419 politician and Democrat to hoodwink and deceive the people, running on the platform of fighting corruption and fighting insurgency. This has not happened.
No.
I heard people say that Boko Haram has been brought down. I don't think those people know Nigeria or they hear any information about Nigeria, because recently, we were in my state Yobe State to flag off a presidential campaign with Atiku Abubakar. That night, Monday night, 49 people were killed at a place called in Yunusari local government of Yobe State. And of course, you know, the attacks on the IDPs is unrestrained. And I also want to say that whoever tells you that Boko Haram does not hold the territory is a big liar. That is not true. Boko Haram holds territory. During Goodluck Jonathan, elections were held.
Galadima, I'm afraid time is not our best ally. But let me ask you this question. Isn't it a fact, for example, that before President Buhari entered Aso Rock, Boko Haram occupied a territory that, in fact, was almost the equivalent of the Kingdom of Belgium?
Of course.
Yes, and they still do.
What is the evidence?
Can you find any military man in about 20 local governments of Borno State?
Let me also ask you about the issue of corruption. Let me ask you about the issue of corruption. The man that you are supporting right now, Atiku Abubakar.
Yes.
Do you sincerely think, given what we know, do you sincerely think that he comes with the sort of moral authority to fight corruption effectively?
Of course, he has moral authority because, you know, Atiku Abubakar is the most vilified person by this government. They called him several names. They are in power. They are in authority. They were not able to produce one single evidence of his corrupt past. And if they do have, I assure you, Shaka, that Atiku could have been languishing in jail as we speak today. But they don't have any such evidence. The man is a rich man.
He
was a rich man. And they accused him of several things, even selling public assets to his friends or to himself. But yet, it was only an accusation. They have never.
What about the perception? What about the perception, Alhaji Galadima? What about the perception that Atiku Abubakar may, in fact, be the mother of all corruption?
Well, you said perception. Perception is in the eyes of the man who perceives. It's a reality. But where is the evidence?
It is available.
Has there been any evidence? And you think that El Rufai, who's General Buhari's right-hand man Friday, who was Atiku's boy, and who did the privatization of public assets...
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Alhaji Galadima. Thank you. We'll come back to you later.
Okay.
Let me come to you immediately, Sylvester.
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Thank you.
Or rather, Landley.
I would have loved to respond to him.
No.
What about you, Landley?
Okay, go ahead.
First of all, Anwar, who spoke from Nigeria, narrowed the issue of campaign to INEC. When the conduct of any election required the participation of INEC and security people. If the general of the custom, the leader of the custom, allow the people from Shar, from Niger, in from the northern part of Nigeria, this election would not be free and fair. Anwar does not know that. That is one. If the security people allow people to snatch ballot boxes as have been done in the past, and the security people will just be looking at them like this, the election will not be free and fair. But let me talk about what I can kind of elaborate on what Alhaji said. When I was here in this studio speaking on behalf of Buhari, because I met with him personally, and he said he would do A, B, C, D, I am disappointed today. And if you are branding and naming Atiku as a thief, for goodness sake, does Buhari want me to go and arrest and prosecute Abubakar? Abubakar left office in 2007. Abubakar, the then Vice President Atiku Abubakar, and I were on this studio. I was on, he was in Abuja, And you can see how I carpeted him. He had to run away. I don't know if you remember that, Shaka. You are the one who interviewed us. I am not saying in any way that Atiku Abubakar is clean. However, the system that Buhari is watering in Nigeria does not allow anybody to clean. I am there now. I know what they're doing to me.
Well, Ogbeni Larry Banju.
Yes.
Unfortunately, time is not our best ally.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, so please don't go away because we'll be right back with you.
Touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
We're talking about the news and issues you're talking about, sharing stories of development and growth across Africa, around the world, and in our lives. Topics that inform, empower, and change the rules. It's time for Our Voices with me, Haiti Adams Fitzpatrick,
and Hadiza Kiari,
and Ayan Bior,
and Orion Itangi Shaka.
It's time for Our Voices.
A reminder that we appreciate all of the audience feedback. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, and you can also watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's look at what's on tap for next week's program.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the results of the February 16th Nigerian presidential and National Assembly elections. What concerns and issues swayed voters the most? Which regions decided the next president? How critical will the perceived role of the Independent National Electoral Commission be in the election outcome? An in-depth discussion on the Nigerian elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Today, we are discussing the significance of Saturday's presidential election in Nigeria. And our guests are Sylvester Okele, President and CEO of United People for African Congress, Ogbeni Lanle Banjo, a former gubernatorial candidate in Ogun State, southwestern Nigeria, and Alhaji Buba Galadima, a spokesman for the People's Democratic Party Presidential Council. Well, I have to say, gentlemen, that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the three of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank Always you. Great to have you.
You're most welcome. Let me come to you immediately, Sylvester. You had your fellow panelists, and especially in the manner in which they referred to former Nigerian Vice President Atiku Abubakar in terms of his record with regards to corruption. There is the perception, really, and this is not about me. It's a perception created by a lot of sources that you are looking at perhaps the mother of all corruption.
And there is no doubt about it. Anybody trying to defend it is actually making himself funny and a liar. But first of all, Alhaji Buba Galadima did a good job as a paid spokesperson. And I'm not surprised if you defect from your leader to go to an opponent, what you're going to do. I get information from Nigeria as much as I live here. I talk to Nigeria every day. I'm from Imo, but I talk to people in the north, in the east, in the south. But the fact is this, the world knows the standard of security in Nigeria as it was before. But coming back to corruption, the question is, what did Atiku Abubakar come to the United States to do on January 17? Why did they sneak him in overnight to come and answer questions? Let's assume he didn't
commit there's no corruption in Nigeria. Why is he bad 12 good years not to enter the United States?
But let's face
Obasanjo himself also said.
Let's face it, Sylvester. When it comes to politics, perception is reality.
You're right.
Correct?
Correct.
But when it comes to the law, at least according to the Nigerian constitution, and most constitutions of civilized nations, would expect that anybody is innocent until proven guilty.
That's right. That's right.
But in this particular case, you seem to actually say that perhaps Atiku Abubakar is guilty, and basically what he needs to do is to prove
to
his
the
innocence.
Nigerian people, and that's what his former boss Obasanjo also said. So coming to lobby, I've never seen, even in America that had the best lobbyists, have never used lobbyists to win election. What has a lobbyist going to do for you if your hands are clean? Instead of working with strategists and grassroots and convince the Nigerian community that this is my innocence, this is who I am. But everything is recorded. So we all already know that. And that's where I have issue, because when the head is corrupt, the entire body is going to be corrupt. Nigeria is known everywhere. Where is Pemi? I'm a man in security.
But what about a lot of these other things that the man is also known to have done? For example, he actually owns a franchise of American University.
Thank you. He owned that and so on. But also, look, there are other candidates. If people really wanted good for Nigeria, I understand two of them are 70 years old, right? So are they the best for Nigeria? When we have technocrats, we have people everybody could have supported. I don't follow people because of the oil in their hand. I follow people based on their integrity and what they can do. Yes, we have been attacking the president. We also need to know what did he inherit from the former administration.
Listen, that's why.
Just hold on, please. Okay. Just hold on. Let me go to, Alhaji Garadima, because Alhaji Garadima, the last time I checked, at least has the right to speak on former Nigerian vice president Atiku Abubakar's right behalf. Alhaji Garadima.
Yes, Chaka.
Why should Nigerians vote for Atiku Abubakar to be the next occupant of Asorok?
Because he's the best compared to his next rival. In Nigeria, there is only two choices. You either vote for President Buhari if you are comfortable with his type of governance, or you vote for former Vice President Atiku Abubakar, because these are the only two political parties with the structures and with following. Whosoever you vote for is just a waste of vote. That is what is on the ground. But I want to tell Mr. Sylvester that he's swimming in waters that he doesn't even know, whether they are sharks or they are crocodiles or they are snakes inside that water. I don't know him. Anybody that claims to know General Buhari, and if I don't know him, that man is only going there for the purposes of getting what he wants to get. Because today, General Buhari is in power. Where was he when we were struggling with the general? Where was he? So because today Buhari is president, he wants to ingratiate himself, would he be comfortable that somebody who has dementia like General Buhari, who cannot understand what is next to him, could be the president of Nigeria and be asked in the United Nations or the African Union, and then he would be asking a passerby to tell him, to interpret to him what is being said or what he needs to say? Is that the kind of president we want for our country? Is that what the man is telling us? No. I want to tell you that Atiku Abubakar is prepared to govern Nigeria democratically. Democratically. He has been a Democrat all his life. He has no military instinct, nor does he have the kind of dictatorship that is inherent in people who have tested and the use of gun. So I want to tell you that Atiku is an employer of labor. He has an American university, and he did not sneak into America. When he went to America, he stayed in Trump Towers. And if anybody was looking for him, he should have been picked. And I do believe that if he has committed any offense, I don't think the American government will waive that offense on him and let him off and travel back to Nigeria. He came back to Nigeria because there was a debate on the day he left the U.S., which he had to attend. Atiku Abubakar appeared on the scene. He backed out. That means that he has no confidence and capacity and knowledge in himself.
Alihaji Garadima.
Yes,
what about reports? In fact, evidence, for example, that several years ago, there was an American congressman.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
From the state of Louisiana.
Yes.
Who was busted by the FBI, and they found that he actually was keeping tens of thousands of U.S. dollars in a deep freeze.
Yes.
And he claimed or alleged that that had something to do with one former Nigerian vice president, Atiku Abubakar.
Uh-huh.
And that Atiku Abubakar was part of that. And that congressman, of course, was found guilty eventually. And he was able to lose his job.
Yeah.
And this is a man, by the way, who had studied law at no less an institution than Harvard Law School.
Yeah.
His name, I suppose, was a Washington?
Jefferson.
Yes. Jefferson. Mm-hmm. And what about the fact that Mr. Atiku Abubakar owns a multi-million-dollar mansion in Potomac, the state of Maryland in the United States?
Yes.
While the vast majority of Nigerians can hardly afford one meal a day.
Even water to drink.
How do you justify that?
How do I justify that?
Mm-hmm.
How does Trump owns the Trump Towers?
We know how it is. He was a businessman all his life.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Atiku is a businessman. He can buy any property with his hard-earned money.
He was head of customs.
So let's assume that he's a...
Those are a respecter of criminals. Is that what you are telling me?
Let's assume that he is a respectable and successful businessman.
Yes, correct. Everybody knows that in our country.
Right. Do you sincerely think, if you were to talk to me from the deepest, better part of the bottom of your Nigerian heart and soul, do you sincerely think that the average Nigerian who can hardly access two meals a day is very much impressed by such a candidate, that is the sort of person that will bring about the sort of social, economic, political justice for all Nigerians?
Of course, correct. Because every Nigerian would want to be like him. Mm-hmm. And he's the only person who knows how to make money. So he will assist the Nigerians make money. That is why on Sunday, when we went to Kano, a distance of 10 kilometers.
It took
us 7 hours because of the crowd that had come out to welcome him from the airport to the MS Palace to our campaign venue. We started to 11, but by 6 o'clock we were not yet at the campaign venue. That shows how the man is popular. It has changed the narratives of the politics in Nigeria because everybody now knows that Atiku Abubakar is the man to beat.
Thank you very much.
Kevin performed well in making money for himself. He knows how to create wealth. He can also help them create wealth. It's not like the other party who feels that nobody should wear a new shirt, nobody should wear a new trouser, or nobody should even eat 3 square meals per day. We are not asking for poverty. We are asking for the creation of wealth and affluence for every Nigerian. That is what we are after. And
thank you.
Atiku Abubakar is the best person to do that.
Thank you very much, Alihaji Buba Garadima. Let me come to you immediately, Ranley Banjo.
Yes.
How do you react to what you just heard?
First of all, I disagree sharply with...
Is this the kind of person, as your friend Alhaji Garadima is saying, is this the kind of person that Nigerians are looking for?
Nigerians will decide that I am not here on the side of Atiku, I am not here on the side of Buhari, I'm here on the side of Nigeria.
Are you here on the side of social, and I'm going to go back to vote. Political justice?
Yes, that's why I'm here, and I'm going back on Friday, on Thursday, to go back to Nigeria to vote.
You used to be a very close aide of
Buhari,
a wonderful man known as Gani Fawemi.
Yes.
A noble man.
If Gani Fawemi were to be alive today, he would not be happy with what is going on in Nigeria. But one point I must correct my brother here for. Those who have been to America all along their lives, what have they done with our lives? So to hell with America, if Atiku Abubakar is not allowed in here, we need somebody who can help us and make Nigeria great and invest in human development.
Is that
I don't need somebody who can come to America. I don't give a damn.
Why did he sneak in?
Overnight. Atiku Abubakar will have to decide, will have to answer that.
But if the point
is this. Why is I'm disappointed with APC government.
Last time I checked, I thought that I was the host.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Very simple.
Yes.
Honestly.
Yes.
When you think about it.
Yes.
Are Nigerians choosing the next president based on the issues, or are they in fact about to choose the next occupant of Aso Rock based on personalities?
Mm-hmm. Issues. And if you look at the issues, Buhari himself had come to Nigeria to say, listen, if I was 45 years old when I was the first head of state, I can do better. That man admitted failure. Right now, my brother, General Muhammadu Buhari, is no longer with his mind, soul, and heart. So I want him to go and rest. I don't want them to kill him. That is why. So... Then when you leave that, you go to how is staffing all the security agencies, putting Northern as there. That hurts some of us, not being tribalistic here. And when you ask him, he will tell you he only put into position those that he trusts. If you don't trust me as a Southerner, please do not ask me for my vote.
How do you respond to some Nigerians?
Yes.
Who have actually been quoted as saying that they would rather stay with someone whom they think or perceive as incorruptible, and that is Major General Muhammadu Buhari, retired but not tired, rather than someone whom they say, in their words, not mine, Ndugu Shaka Sali, their words, somebody whom they say could actually end up selling Nigeria.
Do not leave a goat with the yam.
Many Nigerians, with due respect to my fellow Nigerians, many Nigerians have been spiritually padlocked. They don't even know what they are talking about. I mean, Buhari, let's talk about 2.8 billion when he was Minister of Petroleum. Let's talk about the 53 suitcases.
What is the evidence?
Thank you.
What is the evidence?
No. It was taken to court.
Where is the evidence?
My friend, I'm not here in court. My brother, Fela Anikulapo Kuti, testified with his cutlass.
But what is the evidence?
He's in court. He was in court then.
And
it was Obasanjo who
died. You cannot have your political cake and eat it too.
Yes.
Earlier, you were actually wondering, why is it, for example, that Buhari has not nailed Atiku Abubakar?
Yeah. Why has he not?
Has nailed Atiku Abubakar.
Buhari needs to answer that question. And that's why I'm hanging.
Therefore, Atiku Abubakar must be innocent. And in this particular case, you have no evidence to nail Muhammadu Buhari.
I'm not even nailing anybody.
Just hold on.
Chaka.
Yes, sir.
You may need 1 hour
for that. Can I help you? Mm-hmm.
Yes, please. Go ahead.
In this government, from top to bottom, from bottom up to General Buhari, there isn't anybody that is not corrupt.
There is nobody that is clean.
It's not corrupt.
What about
English people say?
Alhaji Buba
Garandima. The English people say, show me your friends and I tell you who you are. The
question, but we still have to operate on the basis of evidence.
Thank you.
I think you would have to come with incontrovertible evidence, not liable to falter.
You have already told us that you've sentenced Atiku guilty, even when he has never been publicly accused or tried for corruption, let alone been proved guilty.
Politically, yes, he has been sentenced because politically perception equals reality. But
$5 million and stuck to them in his babaliga, and he raised his hand to the Kano people and said, "This is the man I want you to vote for." Do you know that his chief of staff, who is still there, has been accused of taking 500 million naira from MTN communications company, and he has not said anything about this, but let me put it this way.
Do
you know that his minister of petroleum resources?
Just hold on, please.
What do you call him?
Alhaji Garadima.
Has accused him of stealing $25 billion.
Alhaji Garadima, I have never been to law school. I do not claim to be a judge, and this is not a court.
So why
this is not a court. Basically, what I need
evidence?
Is that you have to bring incontrovertible evidence order to nail someone.
He's been accused by his own minister, and the minister is still on seat.
Yeah, but the foreign minister has to bring incontrovertible evidence.
Not only that, the chairman of APC, my party, said you can go and steal all you want. Once you become to APC, you are clean.
Are you an APC?
Wait a minute. What kind of a statement is that from the chairman of a political party? And Buhari cannot address that because they will tell him if you address it, we will not win election.
Just hold on, please.
Okay.
What about that, Sylvester?
You see, let us not make deviate from this. When I say corruption, people ask me, corruption is not the only problem in Nigeria, but corruption is the god of all issue in Nigeria. And that is the reason why we're having this. All are corrupt.
And
PDP,
APC. By the way, I think we should also inform the audience that when we talk about corruption in Nigeria, we are talking about the type that is malevolent.
Yes, not doing things rightly.
Not benign.
Thank you. And that is the problem we have. First of all, we said that Atiku was a businessman. He was the head of customs. How did he make his money as a businessman? And with money? I was in immigration 17 years, and I know how money goes hand and so on. So, but we don't want to go on those issues. Let's go on the facts that we know now. How would you want? I live in this country. I have lived 4 years in Europe, 20 years here. And I'm into security and everything, and I know what it is in this country where every Nigerian is perceived as a corrupt person. Go to Dr. Phil, issue about Nigeria corruption and scam, and then you want your leader. Frankly, I feel embarrassed when I see diasporans or an intelligent Nigerian at this age rooting for Atiku. If you don't like Buhari, I tell people, go for Kingsley. Let us go for something good.
Why, in fact, Atiku is not the right person. Why don't you talk about other candidates?
Thank you.
Kingsley Magalu,
you have other candidates.
Atiku, people follow Atiku because of what is in his hand, what they're going to get.
Internationally and locally respected.
Yes.
He has served at war
competent.
Bank.
Yes.
He's
former deputy. We don't hear anything about
him. Former deputy central bank.
That is the problem with Nigeria.
Is the election in Nigeria about issues or is it in fact about personality?
He just said here that those people, they belong to an unknown party. We relegate people. We disdain people.
I didn't use that word.
We disdain people instead of giving people support.
But hold on, let me ask
whoever thought
question.
That Trump will be our president.
It's about issues. I have issues. I mean, I have contested 3 times in Nigeria to become a governor of a state, and I know I have good programs. If I don't have money to bribe the kings, to give electorate, no matter how brilliant your issues are, the electorate that you want to deliver, you want to take from the shackle from the squalor of disease, they will not listen to you.
It is grassroots, brother.
That is grassroots. Exactly.
It's not about money. You win that. It
my brother,
grassroots.
You have not been on the floor.
Don't worry, I will be on the floor.
Right now, those of us who have been on the floor, stop. Yes.
You tried many times and successfully to become the governor of the Ogun state of Ogun.
Yes.
And the state of Ogun happens to be a very, very significant state because the last time I checked,
yes,
its headquarters is in Abeokuta.
Yes.
Abeokuta also happens to be the homeland, for example, of former Nigerian president, General Olusegun Obasanjo.
Atiku's boss.
It also happens to be the birthplace of another gallant Nigerian who could have been president of Nigeria in 1993, mm-hmm. the late multi-billionaire Mashood Abiola.
Yes.
It happens also to be the home place of Africa's first literature Nobel laureate, Wole Soyinka.
Yes.
It happens to be the first place of Awolowo.
Yes. Fela.
Fera Anakuli Pokuti.
Anikula Pokuti.
Anikula Pokuti. It happens to be the place.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
So how did Mr. General Obasanjo become president? Did he buy it?
No. No. In 1999?
Yes.
Yes, he bought it. Mm-hmm. Obasanjo will tell you that. The best out of all the presidents we have ever...
Is it true that, in fact, it was a man called... Ibrahimu Badamasi Babangida.
Yes, of course. He was the wheeler and dealer. So, Chief Olusegun Obasanjo will sit and tell you in 1999 when he was brought from prison to become the president, it was this when they started sharing money. The best out of all was Shehu Yaradua. Because as soon as he was sworn in, I'm sure you remember because I was here too, he said... He realized that the election that brought him into power was not free and fair, but he will make a correction. Did my brother Buhari say that? So I am serious. I think we should just leave this man alone. But again, I am here for Nigeria.
Do you think can be done and must be done to make sure that Nigerians at the end of the day get an election that is free, fair, credible, and verifiable?
Frankly speaking, and I'm being honest, I don't think Nigerians themselves are ready. Because if they are telling me, if I can't bribe them, they will not vote for me. They are not ready.
They are ready.
My brother, you are not in Nigeria. You have not been there. You have not been on the floor. Please, you have not been on the ground.
The diaspora will speak like this. When
what kind of diaspora? I'm not a diaspora. I'm a Nigerian.
You're supposed to transform them. You don't go there and expect
with this
to
English. I'm not a diaspora.
I see.
No.
Please, we need a little bit of civility.
I am civil.
Okay. You do not go there and try to...
Unfortunately, I am being told, because there is no democracy in Studio 4,
okay.
It's like in the military when the captain says about turn, it's about turn. Yes. No questions.
Mm-hmm.
On that note, today's guests were Sylvester Okele Ogbeni Lanle Banjo.
Thank you.
And Darihaji Buba Garadima.
Thank you,
Ariadne. My VOA colleagues Peter Kelote and Hawa Umar joined us earlier from Lagos and Abuja, respectively. Thanks to our audience for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not beta, Nigeria. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.